Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? This is Lee, Keys of Evan Real Talk. But today is Lee and Evan bringing you this Saturday, pre-fight show. Got a lot to talk about in a little bit of time, but we're going to cram in as much as we can. What's going on, Evan, man? How you doing today?
Not too much, man. I'm feeling good. Today's a good day. You know, energy's high. Mental health is good. Just got done with therapy. Now we're going to break down some fights. Wouldn't want it any other way.
Hey, I looked at this card, and this is a big card for a fight night card. Kind of unusual to have this many fights on a fight night card. I was like, wow, this is definitely a stacked card. But at the same time, it's a lot of names that a lot of people don't know, which I really like, because I think this is what fight night should be used for. Fight night should be used for those fighters that we really don't know or that's just outside the top 15, so that fans can become more familiar with them as they climb, you know, that ladder to success. So I'm definitely happy about that.
No, I agree 100%, actually, because, you know, when we break down the card, like you mentioned, you know, we got a lot of fighters, like you mentioned, just, you know, some people just don't know them yet, but they, you know, they deserve that recognition, and we will break that down soon.
Yeah, man. It's been a week of news here. But let's just jump into it, man. Earlier this week, I want to say that you either tweeted it or you may have put it in our group text that you feel that Khabib should just vacate the title. I think that opinion is in the majority now, especially after seeing Chandler destroy Hooker and Poirier destroy Connor. I think that's definitely a topic that everybody has been talking about, especially on Twitter. So let's talk about it, man. You said it, so go ahead and voice your opinion. Why should Khabib vacate?
Khabib vacating, to me, it just seems the most likely, you know, opinion right now. Number one being is that he, you know, left his gloves in the octagon. He did the ceremonial, you know, retirement. You know, he did it the way, you know, most people, you know, expect him to do it. And he did it after finishing someone who, you know, the odds makers gave, I think, Justin a decent shot to win that fight. A lot of people were hyping that fight, and he, you know, dismantled Justin, you know, quite easily with submissions. He, you know, he showed, you know, everyone thought because Justin's got this hidden wrestling, but there was a quote from Khabib's team, and they were like, yeah, he's got this hidden wrestling, but do you understand why that it's hidden? The reason it's hidden is because he doesn't like to wrestle. Like, he doesn't want to wrestle, and you saw that. He didn't want to wrestle. He didn't want to grapple. He wants to explode. He wants to strike and all that crap. So, you know, Khabib got the win. It was an incredible performance. He retired. It was his mother's wish to, you know, not fight anymore. And it just, you don't need 30-0. It doesn't need to happen. It's not required. And then just to end this topic, you know, end my point here is Khabib was in the corner for his cousin or his brother, Umar Nurmagomedov, who fought recently on the Wednesday card back in January. And there's some backstage video of Khabib, and he's looking thick. Like, he's looking at least 200+, and I just do not see him cutting weight to 155. For who? Who is he going to cut for? You're not going to cut for a Poirier rematch. You're not going to cut for Michael Chandler. No disrespect to Chandler. Trust me, there's no disrespect to Chandler. You're not going to cut for Eddie Charles Oliveira. So your number one option is you're going to go to 70 and hope to get the GSP fight, which I think is a waste of time, because if you beat GSP, great. Now you're 30-0 and you have a win over a retired GSP. And then if you lose, now you're 29-1 against retired GSP. So I would just retire. Please vacate and let's move on. You know, what do you think?
I'm 75% agree with you. And the only reason I say I'm not at 100% is because the U.S., because of his fight schedule. His fight schedule has always been, he's never fought more than twice a year. If we actually look at his fight schedule, he fights one time in the spring and one time in the winter. Does his fight schedule line up? Kind of, sort of, because what we're in February right now, so we still have March, April, May, maybe even June for him to say, okay, I'll get back in there. So that's one reason why I'm not all the way in, because of his normal fight schedule. But at the same time, I think that the division is so explosive right now that you do need to have an active champion. You have to have a champion. You have to have somebody that's the face of the division, somebody that's actually out there promoting the company and doing what they're supposed to be doing as a champion. Me personally, I kind of I know we talked to this on to nauseam, but I like Poirier versus Chandler for the belt. I know a lot of UFC fans aren't happy with Chandler coming in there and getting an immediate title shot. But at the same time, you have to understand that the business side of the UFC, do you think they brought Chandler over for him to have to fight two or three fights to be in a championship picture? No, that's not what they brought him over. When they originally brought him over, he was a stand-in for the Gaethje-Khabib fight. So that tells you right there what their plan was for Chandler. So I have no problem with Poirier versus Chandler for the belt. I do have a problem with Poirier saying, just get him the belt. No, you lost. You lost to the champ. You got tapped out. Gaethje lost to the champ, got tapped out. McGregor lost to the champ and got tapped out. So, we're not just going to give you a belt. You're going to earn it. So I feel bad for Charles Oliveira in this situation, because he is kind of the odd man looking out. But at the same time, Charles, sit back and wait, man. Sit back and wait your turn. You probably will be in a title fight by the end of the year, and your body will be fresh. You'll have plenty of time to train. So just sit back and relax, man. But I'm 75-25 with him vacating. And like I said, the only reason I say that is because of his normal fight schedule.
Go for it.
Go ahead.
No, I wanted to add on to your point of the Chandler thing. You know, Chandler made a great point, in one of his interviews, and I know Keys will like this. Like, Keys, you know, he's very intelligent when he speaks. He's not just someone that's just, you know, a fighter who's just talking. Like, he's a very smart person. And like you've mentioned before, he was brought in as the replacement for the title shot in case someone fell out. Like, he was going to get a title shot if Justin Gaethje fell out. And now you guys are going to get mad that he might get a title shot after KOing Dan Hooker in the first round, where it took Paul Felder. Paul Felder actually couldn't beat him, which I think he did. But five rounds against Dustin Poirier, and Dustin couldn't finish him. And Chandler does that in the first round, and you're gonna be mad at that. Pick and choose your battles is all I'm saying. But what I'm wondering is, like with Charles Oliveira, it gets me wondering, you know, where he comes into this whole thing. Like, Dustin doesn't want to fight for the title anymore. Well, scratch that. The reason I brought this up was that you were saying how Dustin wants to be handed the title. And he's like, no. You're like, no, you got tapped out. You're not going to just get the title. And someone on Twitter, Aaron Brodner, I think is his name, I apologize for butchering it, mentioned that Poirier weighed in at 156 for the fight against Conor. So if that fight was for the belt, you know, let's just say hypothetically it was, he's not getting the belt. Because you did not weigh the 155-pound limit. So you're not the uncrowned champ. Yeah, you beat Conor, but Conor weighed in at 155. Why didn't you? You know, if if the implications were that the belt was hypothetically, figuratively on the line, why don't you weigh 155? Just a, you know, a silly point, but it's just something to think about.
Yeah, but I think he probably would have made weight. You know, they would have made him get butt-ass naked and somehow, you know, somehow they manipulate the scale so that they weigh. I don't know how they do it, but somehow they weigh right at championship weight when they butt naked. So, which is kind of miraculous, but, you know, neither here nor there, man. I think it's a lot of moving parts to this picture, and we just got to let it play out. But I think people need to get over it that Chandler is going to be in the championship picture. And if you're mad about that, that's too bad, because you need to realize not just the fan side of the UFC, you also got to learn the business side of the UFC. And in the old days of the UFC, it was all about the fans. The new days of the UFC is all about the business. So, but look, man, let's talk about this. This fight came out yesterday, and it made me laugh, but I got to thinking, maybe this is the way to go. Diego Sanchez versus Cowboy Cerrone. I have been lobbying for Diego Sanchez to be forced to retire from fighting. I think he has taken way too much punishment. He's a very action-packed fighter, but it's only so much punishment a person can take. If you look at Ben Lieben, took a whole lot of punishment. You look at Diego Sanchez, took a whole lot of punishment. It's just Tony Ferguson takes a lot of punishment. It's sometimes you have to, as a company, protect the fighter from themselves. Maybe this Diego Sanchez's last fight against Cowboy Cerrone, but my thinking is if he wins, he fights more. But I think if he loses, this might be the last fight of his career. Maybe if Cowboy loses, he stepped away too. So when you heard about this fight, Evan, you don't have to be PG this time. What was the first thing you thought about when you heard about this fight?
The funny thing is I saw the tweet from Diego after I got back from class. I was walking up my stairs and I saw he tweeted at Connor, you know, saying how you're still a champion, you know, you'll be back and all this stuff. But it's looking like my UFC finale is going to be against the Cowboy. And I'm just like, initially I was like, all right, are we thinking Cowboy Cerrone or are we thinking Cowboy Oliveira? Then it obviously made sense that it was Cowboy Cerrone. But what the F is honestly why is this fight being made? You know, I don't know where Diego trains anymore. I know he's with that guru dude, so I don't even know where they train. But I know Diego used to train at Jackson Wink, and I don't think – oh, actually, Cowboy doesn't train there anymore either. I forgot about that because the whole Mike Perry thing.
Nope.
It actually changes up my opinion. I forgot about that. They've been – you know, they've trained together before. I'm sure of that. It's been years. I'm going to say Cowboy is obviously way more, you know, not in his prime. Realistically, this fight shouldn't be made, you know. You know, people want to talk that Cowboy's on a four-fight losing streak. He's got a draw against Nico Price where he got kicked in the – I think he got kicked in the nuts once, and he got eye-poked twice in both eyes. What's it called? Then he lost a split decision to Pettis, which you could say he won that fight. He lost to Connor, which it happens. Pettis, Connor, Nico was a draw. I forget who else. But regardless – he's not losing, you know, to slack. He's losing to top-tier talent, you know. He's losing to legitimate challenges. And I'm sorry, Diego Sanchez is no longer a legitimate challenge to anyone, you know, with Cowboys. Like I said, he's on the decline, getting a little bit older. But this should be a, you know, a walk in the park for Cowboy. This should be his last fight, too. This is Diego's last fight. He's done. Even if he wins, there's no reason to fight again, because why? If you're going to beat Cowboy, take that win and run with it. Do not try and, you know, fight someone else. Like, it's just not worth it. But same for Cowboy, you know. If Cowboy loses this fight, all respect to him. But if he can't beat Diego Sanchez, who's on his way out, I don't think there's much left for you, you know, in the UFC, let alone MMA. No, this fight is weird. I hope it's not a main event. I don't think it is. I don't even know where you put this fight. Like, I don't know where you put this on a card. You know, is this on the prelims? Is this on the main card? Like, where do you put this fight? Why is this fight even happening? Honestly, those are my thoughts.
You know what? I'm going to name off Cowboy's last 20 fights. I'm going to go really quick. Man, this guy has fought a who's who of opponents. Nico Price, Anthony Pettis, Conor McGregor, Justin Gaethje, Tony Ferguson, I Kenta, Alexander Hernandez, Mike Perry, Leon Edwards, Jansen Medeiros, Darren Till, Robbie Lawler, Jorge Masvidal, Matt Brown, Rick Story, Patrick Cote, Alex Oliveira, RDA, McDessey, Benson Henderson, Miles Jury, Eddie Alvarez, Jim Miller, Edson Barboza. That's Cowboy's last 20-plus fights.
Where was their easy fight?
I don't think nobody has a resume of this many top-notch guys in a row in UFC history. Not just, I'm going to say mixed martial arts history. There is no name up here that you can't say probably was not a top guy at the time. Probably the only guy I would say maybe Matt Brown. Maybe Yancy Medeiros. But, man, when I heard about this fight, man, I think the UFC probably was like, hey, Cowboy, look. Hey, man, we're looking for an opponent for Diego for his last fight. I know you guys just trained together at Winkle John. So, you know, what do you think about getting in there with Diego for his last fight? And knowing Cowboy, he was like, hey, if that's what y'all want, you know, I'll do it for you guys. Because that's the type of guy Cowboy is. That's the type of guy I think he is. But me, please put Diego Sanchez out of his misery, man. Please put him out of his misery. I think it's time, dog. I think he's going to be one of them guys after his fighting career is over. I think he might be like a BJ Penn, where he just doesn't know what to do with his time and energy, and he might just stay in trouble. But I hope the UFC gives him a job behind the scenes, something that keeps him kind of touch with the sport, so that, you know, man, he still feel like he's part of the game. I think a lot of these guys that take a lot of damage, I think that's what they really need after they retire, Evan. I think you got to throw them a bone, man. Give them something that keeps them in touch with the game, you know, so they feel like they're still part of the game. Because, you know, like with BJ just got out and didn't know what to do with himself, man. And he still don't know what to do with himself. So, but Cerrone's last 20-plus fights is through the roof. And I think he's doing this for the UFC, bro.
I agree. No disagreements on that, 100%. He's a yes man in the best way possible when it comes to, you know,
exactly.
The UFC.
All right, man. So one more topic before we jump into today's card. I saw that I think this is a real big story that we didn't touch on. One championship and a TV deal. I think this is a major, major thing for that company. As we all know, as sports fans, combat sports fans, NFL, basketball, baseball, hockey, one thing that gets us closer to that sport is being able to see that sport.
Uh-huh.
I am super excited about being able to see one championship being on TNT. How did that hit you?
That is going to be incredible. My only concern for it, like there's really no issues with it. The only thing that's concerning about it is the fact that their fights are always super early.
Late.
In the day.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah, late for them, early for us. You know, like, you know, some of their fights start at like, you know, like 2-3 in the morning of my time, you know. So, like, I don't know how that's going to work for a TV deal. I don't know if they're going to have to, you know, fight like, you know, how the UFC goes to Fight Island and they're fighting at like, you know, 2-3 in the morning or whatever. So it's a great thing because one championship has tremendous talent and it has so much more looks than just straight MMA. They do kickboxing. They do Muay Thai. I don't think they do just straight boxing. They have multiple other, you know, they have the striker's delight, basically. You know, like what Bellator used to be doing. Bellator used to offer kickboxing as well, but they stopped doing that, I guess because of COVID or whatever. A TV deal for them is lightning in a bottle, and I'm hoping, you know, MMA fans of the world, you know, UFC fans purely, you know, I hate the word casual, but the ones that only know UFC, when the TV deal gets done, please do yourself a favor and watch one championship. No matter, you know, names are names. Names only get big, you know, through time. But at one point, someone was always on the prelims. Someone was always a beginning fighter. They weren't always perfect. Conor McGregor, arguably the biggest combat star in the world, had lost way before he got anywhere near the UFC. And I think it was like twice before he even got towards the UFC. So you know, it's a great deal. It's a great thing. I can't wait. I'll be watching, and I hope everyone else will.
Actually, I'm looking at it right now, and it says that one championship on TNT number one on April 7th will kick off at 10 p.m. Eastern time. So
okay.
I guess they're making some changes to when they're going to air their start their fights to link up with us over here, which is a great thing because I was sitting here thinking, damn, I'm going to have to DVR it and then just watch it probably when I get off from work or whatever. But, yeah, man, they're saying that one on TNT, one on April 7th will kick off at 10 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, that card is going to have Demetrius Johnson and Eddie Alvarez on that card. So, hey, I'm actually looking forward to it because one is, like, one of those intriguing companies that I want to kind of, like, throw my support behind because of what you said. It's not just strictly martial art. I mean, UFC-style fighting. You get the Muay Thai, you get the kickboxing. And their fights are actually pretty much action-packed. Their fights aren't super boring, I should say. Most of their fights are normally action-packed. And I like the way they do their weight classes. Their weight classes vary. Unlike the UFC, you know, they kind of like have a greater variance and range, and I like that. But I'm just happy that they got a TV deal because it's just, as MMA fans, it just gives us one more thing we can put our eye on. Probably more fighters that we can say, man, I wonder how this guy would do in the UFC. I wonder how this guy would do in Bellator or how this guy from Bellator would do at one. You know, because when guys get let go in the USA, we automatically expect them to go to Bellator. But a lot of guys, you know, and girls have been going over to one, bare knuckle fighting, LFA, so PFL. So it's just great to have just another variance of the sport that we can actually watch, man. And I'm pretty excited about it, especially being able to see my boy Demetrius Johnson, who I think is probably who I consider the number one pound for pound fighter in the world. So I'm happy about that.
I agree. No, 100%. And I agree also to your point of DJ being the number one pound for pound, because the things he did in the UFC against some of the guys, like specifically Wilson Hayes, who was supposed to be this like high level grappler, which I believe he still is. DJ just toyed with him for three rounds and then submitted him by armbar. It literally made it look easy. Like, he's just levels above these guys. And now at one, he's getting challenges because, he is out of the smaller group of gentlemen, fighting at the 135-pound limit, being someone who has fought 135. Yep. But look at him now. He is the Grand Prix champion, and he's going to be fighting for the world title in April. So I can't wait. I truly, truly can't wait.
I'm with you, bro. I love Mr. Demetrius Johnson, dog.
All right. We ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we got some fights tonight. We got, I'll just break it down for you. The main event is Alistair Overeem taking on Alexander Volkov. The consensus behind this main event is this is Alistair Overeem's one final UFC title run. He is on, I believe, a 3 or 4 fight win streak. He's looking very good. It's a very promising, run. Got a very tough challenge in Alexander Volkov, but can he do it? Let's see. And then in the co-main event, we have Corey Sandhagen coming back off his second-round knockout finish against Marlon Moraes, taking on Frankie Edgar, his second second fight in the bantamweight division, coming off a 5-round war against Pedro Munhoz, which is a very close fight. And we got a few others. So if you don't mind, Lee, I'm just going to, we'll break down just a few of the main card fights, just, simple predictions, nothing crazy. We'll start it off nice and easy. We got Carlos Diego Fajeya is going to rematch Beneil Dariush. I did not actually know this was a rematch.
I didn't know it was a rematch either.
Apparently, they fought. It was a decision for Beneil, unanimous. And Beneil is now on a 5-fight win streak. So he's coming in, with serious. And then also, he's on a 6-fight. So this is a very important fight for both. I did not realize the stakes in this one. This is a tough one to pick. Beneil's already got that win, but...
All right, I'll go first, Evan. Maybe you can bounce off of me.
You got it.
I really, really like Beneil Dariush, man. I really like him. His style, he's one of them guys that has a game plan, goes in, sticks to his game plan. He doesn't rush in the octagon. You never see him with a wasted movement. You never see him going too fast in the octagon. This fight, man, Diego Ferreira, man, oh, my God. I want to go with Dariush so bad, but I'm going to go with Diego Ferreira, man. I think Diego Ferreira wins the second fight. I think he'll be a little bit more technical. He's probably, as you've been saying, since he lost to Beneil, he hasn't lost another fight. So he's probably learned from the last fight. I'm gonna go with Diego Ferreira, man. He wins by I'm gonna say split decision because Beneil is so good that I could see some judges probably leaning towards him. But I'm gonna say Diego Ferreira, man, split decision.
All right. I like that pick. It's a good one. I really think this fight is just a pick 'em. One's on a 5-fight win streak, one's on a 6. One's got a win against the other, but this is why rematches are so exciting. I'm gonna differ. Make it interesting. I'm gonna go Beneil. I saw an interview of him accepting his comeback of the year award, and he was saying how he does not want it to be 1-1. He wants to let the odds, the matchmakers know that this was not a good idea to you know, make this a rematch. This is going to be 2-0, and I'm going to show him that, you know, you're not coming back against me. You know, I'm going 2-0. So I'm going to take Beneil, and I'm going to agree. I think it's a different fight this time, so I'm going to see a split decision as well for Beneil. All right.
Okay.
Next one, it's a tough pick to make, but we got Turning after his loss to Jimmy Rivera, I believe his last fight was. Yes, he lost to Jimmy Rivera. He will be taking on a debuting Askar Askar, who is 11-1. He's a 5 knockouts, 5 decisions, 1 submission. But he's just a newcomer. But, you know, like I said, I watch the interviews. I watch when people talk. I like listening to what they say. And, you know, Cody Stamann said he's got to kill this guy. He's got to let him know that you do not belong in the UFC. I appreciate you taking this fight, but I'm going to hurt you, and I'm going to hurt you bad. So I'm going to take Cody Stamann just for those words. I'm going to hope he, you know, he does me right. And I'll just take him by a simple decision because, I mean, he believes that he needs to finish him emphatically because he's the UFC vet. He needs to put the statement on the newcomer. But in the end, I'm sure we're going to get a nice decision from Cody Stamann.
Man, I'm kind of disappointed that Stamann went out to featherweight because he was one of the guys that I wanted to see fight Corey Sandhagen. I wanted to see Cody Stamann versus Corey Sandhagen when they were both basically – undefeated, or you know, they was making their climb, but I'm not gonna use Cody's last fight against him. I want to say his last fight, his brother had passed away right before his fight, so I'm not gonna hold that against him. I'm gonna go with Cody Stamann by second round KO, man. I think he comes back in refocused. You know, he was fighting with a heavy heart in his last fight. Although Askar has a 5.5-inch reach advantage, I'm going to go with Stamann, man. I think he gets it done by a second-round knockout. He closes the distance. He closes the distance early, putting Askar on his back foot. And Stamann can wrestle a little bit. So Askar has to be – basically, he's going to be thinking the whole time during that fight. So I'm going with Cody Stamann, man, second-round knockout.
I like that. Let's see here. Sorry, I'm getting phone calls in the middle of the show. Ridiculous. All right, let's keep it going. We got Alexandre Pantoja taking on the debuting Manel Kep. From what I'm being told, is Manel Kep is someone who's making his long-awaited UFC debut. You know, 27 years old. Apparently, this is someone who believes that he should have been in the UFC a long time ago. 15-4, 9 knockouts, TKOs, 5 submissions, 1 decision. Has never been knocked out. 2 submission, 2 decision losses. And he believes he belongs here. I admit I don't know anything about him. I will not lie to you guys. You know, I'm not one that truly watches too much outside of. I will watch UFC. I watch Bellator. I will watch LFA sometimes when it's on the UFC Fight Pass. I'll watch one. Not much else. I don't really, you know, try. I don't watch like not the amateurs, but just the, you know, before you get to the UFC or Bellator or such. But with that being said, Alexandre Pantoja is definitely a vet. 30 years old, 22-5. He's coming off a decision loss to Askar Askarov. But before that, you know, he had a knockout finish. Before that, he lost to Deiveson Figueiredo, but he, you know, took them shots. He's definitely someone who's fought some talent, you know, in the UFC. And this is a really good fight for both. You know, they were jawing at each other at the weigh-ins. So I'm excited for this one. Honestly, I don't know much about really either. So just for the fun of it, I'm going to take Manel Kep by decision. And I'm excited to see what happens.
I'm going with Kep too, man. Looking at his record, I'm looking at his previous fights. He's 4-5 in his last fights. He's coming out of the Rising Fighting Federation. His last fight there, December 31st, 2019, he was actually the champ. So he has a TKO win in a championship fight. He won another fight by KO, TKO, then another fight by TKO, and then he won a fight by a technical submission. So I'm going to go with Kep, man. I see Pantoja fight. I think he's actually pretty good. In that Davison Figueiredo fight, he actually didn't look bad. It's just that Figueiredo was on his way to be on another level in this division. I'm gonna go with and he beat Wilson Hayes, man. The same guy that you was talking about that DJ beat. So
DJ.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna go with Manuel Kepe. I think he gets it done. It goes three rounds. I think Kepe wins a unanimous decision and a very fun fight. Normally these flyweights, they normally give us good fights because they're so fast and they got fast hands. Nah, actually, I'm going to go with Kate with a knockout, man. I think Kate wins in third-round knockout.
I like that. I like that. I like that pick a lot. Like I said, I don't know too much about him, so we're in a safe decision. But it's going to be a good one. All right, man. This next fight, just below the co-main, this one's very important to me. And the reason being is we got Michael Johnson taking on Clay Guida. Now, Michael Johnson has been someone that I've watched in the UFC for a long time. You know, he's been there. He's one of the guys that had beaten Tony Ferguson before he went on that incredible streak of undefeated. What's it called? He's a veteran. He's someone that, you know, deserves to be where he's at. But what's it called? He is coming into this fight on a 3-fight losing streak. Like he said in his interview, his job is on the line right now. He needs this win. You know, he was beating Josh Emmett back in 2019, but then got knocked out with like 30 seconds left or so. He lost a decision to Stevie Ray, and then he got heel hooked by Thiago Moises.
Thiago, yep.
Like I said, his career, his job is on the line here. You know, you can't, and it actually saddens me that he is someone, he's got 20 wins, but he has 16 losses. When I hear the name Michael Johnson, I do not think 16 losses. I just don't think that represents him as a professional fighter. I think he's so much better, you know, than that record, you know, would suppose. But, we got Clay Guida on the other end. He's coming on 2 losses, one to Bobby Green and one to Jim Miller. His last win was against BJ Penn back in 2019, which respectfully is not a good win. I'm sorry. BJ Penn should have been nowhere near the UFC octagon, let alone anywhere at all besides a hospital, because he's got serious things that he needs to deal with. Regardless of all that, regardless of the outside crap, this is a great fight. They're friendly. The weigh-ins, they were very friendly, shaking hands, hugging. I like the respect. I like the sportsmanship. I just think, you know, both guys need a big win, and I'm going to take Michael Johnson. I think that, you know, that's not the obvious pick. I think most people might take Clay Guida because of Michael Johnson's last few fights. You know, he wins, and then last minute he loses. You know, something happens. But I believe in him. I believe him to come back. I believe in him to show, you know, the world for the rest of his career that he did deserve to be in the top five, you know, and he is someone, you know, to reckon with. I'm going to take Michael Johnson by decision.
All right. I'm going to roll off. You said that Michael Johnson's record is 20-16. I'm going to name off some of the guys he's fought since 2012. Tony Ferguson, Miles Jury, Joe Lauzon, Gleison Tebow, Melvin Gallard, Edson Barboza, Benil Darius, Nate Diaz, Dustin Poirier, Khabib, Justin Gaethje, Darren Elkins, Andre Feely, Arden Lobov, Josh Emmett, and Stevie Ray. Those are some of the guys he has fought since 2012. So it is not like Michael Johnson is out here losing the bums or losing to guys that we don't know. Michael Johnson is out here putting it on the line basically in every fight, fighting top guys. And one thing about I'm going to jump on this with Evan. We respect guys that don't shy away from fights. We want guys to go out here and fight the best guys. And if you look at Michael Johnson, he's been a good soldier for the UFC. He's actually went out there and fought some of the top guys. He beat Tony Ferguson. He beat Joe Lozon. He beat Edson Barboza. He beat Dustin Poirier by knockout. He beat Artem Lobov and Andre Fili. So it's not like Michael Johnson is a bum. I'm going Michael Johnson, second round KO, and Clay Guida. Clay Guida is such a stud, man. He's such an entertaining guy. He's such a veteran fighter. And I think he's one of the guys that now it's time that his best days are behind him. And I think a KO loss to Michael Johnson probably chauffeured him off into retirement. So I like Michael Johnson with a second round KO of Clay Guida. Michael Johnson still has fast hands, but the main issue that we have to watch for Michael Johnson is he tends to gas out towards the middle of the second, going into the third round. So if he gets it done, it'll be in the second round. So I'm going with Michael Johnson with a second round KO of Clay Guida.
I like that one. Trust me, I hope it happens. I really do. I would love to see Michael Johnson get a big finish and, don't call anybody out. Just get that finish, get that win, and just get that confidence back. It's hard. It's hard for someone to find the confidence to want to keep fighting, after losing so many in a row. Like, I couldn't imagine losing three in a row. You lose one, you're like, all right, it happens. And then you lose the second one, you're like, okay, we just got to fix a few more things. And then you lose that third one, and you're like, you're questioning your life. And like, am I supposed to be doing this? Like, what am I doing here? And so,
yeah,
it's a big moment for Michael Johnson. I can't wait for this fight. I'm so excited this is happening today. Put that one to bed, and here we are to the co-main event. Personally, my favorite fight on the card. Corey Sandhagen taking on Frankie Edgar. This fight is also my favorite fight on the card is because 2020, January, Curtis Blaydes fought JDS. The co-main event of that fight was supposed to be Corey Sandhagen versus Frankie Edgar. It was supposed to be Frankie Edgar's debut at bantamweight. But last minute, Brian Ortega pulled out of the fight against Korean Zombie, and therefore Frankie Edgar took that fight, even though he was booked on the poster to fight Corey Sandhagen. He took that fight against Edgar and got finished and took way too much damage and was not able to, fight against Corey Sandhagen the next month. Kind of had a bitter taste in my mouth for Frankie. I know he's a legend. He deserves the utmost respect, but I did not appreciate that decision to, take that shot. Take that opportunity away from Corey for one, and then just to get knocked out in the first round. Didn't like that. But here we are, years later, and the stakes are higher. Arguably, the winner of this will get a title shot. Corey coming off a big win against Marlon, and Frankie coming off the close war against Pedro Munhoz. This is a great fight. We actually talked about this in the group chat, that Frankie is a huge underdog, which is very surprising still. I don't believe the line changed that much. If we go here, actually, real fast. Yeah, Frankie Edgar is a plus 330. I'd win $66, just for you guys out there. That's how much of an underdog the odds makers believe Frankie is against Corey Sandhagen. Now, I agree. I got Corey Sandhagen in this fight. I got Corey by finish, by decision. However he wants to do it, I'm taking Corey all the way. He is the future of this division. The fight against Sterling, it happens. He got caught, threw a bad kick, got taken down, got submitted. But then in his other fights, he showed incredible grappling. So do not sleep on his grappling. It happens. This is Aljamain's time right now to get that title shot. Corey will be there. So to keep it short and sweet after I just talked for an hour, I got Corey Sandhagen by decision. It is only three rounds, so, you know, Corey better have that pace ready, because Frankie going three rounds is like is in a walk in the park. So Corey Sandhagen by decision. Lee?
I can't believe the disrespect that the bettors are showing Frankie Edgar. Frankie Edgar is he's probably he's a future Hall of Famer. I can't believe that they really – I thought this fight would be closer to – I wouldn't be mad that Sandhagen was the favorite. I'm just mad at how big of a favorite he's in, that he is. I wasn't mad about, Frankie taking the fight against Korean Zombie. I was more angry with the UFC of putting him in that position. Why couldn't y'all ask somebody else to be a late minute replacement? Why did you ask Frankie to do it knowing he was going to a new division and, he was trying to get his body used to fighting at 135? So I kind of blame the UFC for that. But see, they always do that to the veteran guys because they know the veteran guys are going to help the company out. You know what I'm saying? So I have been on the Corey Sandhagen bandwagon for a long time, ever since he came from LFA to his first fight in UFC. I think Sandhagen is one of these slick guys that has a pretty cool fighting style. It's kind of like a Floyd Mayweather style that's brought to UFC. One thing Sandhagen has to be cautious of in this fight is if Frankie takes him down, it ain't going to be once. He's going to take him down more than one time. So he has to be able to get back to his feet. He has to be able to survive. I don't remember too many fights where Sandhagen has been taken down. The last fight that I seen him taken down, he got choked out. That was against Aljamain Sterling. So this fight is a tough fight for me because I'm a fan of both guys. But I'm going to go with Corey Sandhagen to win a split decision over Frankie Edgar. I think Frankie shows a lot of heart in this fight. I think Frankie shows why he is a former champion. He will bring some things to the table that Corey Sandhagen probably has never seen in the UFC octagon, because Frankie's steady movement, head movement, takedown defense, striking, he can do it all in the octagon. There is probably no weakness in Frankie Edgar's game, and he doesn't tire out. So Corey better come in there with a solid game plan. He better come in there with his takedown defense at a premium, because if not, Frankie Edgar will walk out of there with the victory. But I'm going to take Sandhagen in the split decision tonight.
I like it. I love it. It's a great pick. And just Corey Sandhagen, there's a lot of respect. I've seen some people on Twitter, saying that he's a little overrated. I think that's absolutely absurd. I think that's just silly talk. He's not overrated. I just don't – he's just good, and he's just still getting there, I think. I don't think he's even, showed his, true potential yet. Like the Marlon Moraes fight was great, but I still think he's even better than that. So we have come to the end. This is a beautiful ending. We have come to the main event. We have Alistair Overeem taking on Alexander Volkov. This is Alistair Overeem's one final run for that title. If he wins, the journey continues. If he loses, sounds like retirement. So this is a big one for him. I hope he gets it done. I really do. But even though if he does win, I fear, with Curtis Blaydes, Derek Lewis fighting, with Jones and with Francis and Stipe rematching and Jones in the wake, I can't imagine Overeem, being that close to a title shot. So you know, I hope he just kind of, you know, stays ready. Just stay ready, be ready, and hope for the best. But with that being said, I think this fight is a pick 'em. The odds makers are giving great respect to both. There's nothing really, you know, Overeem is an underdog by plus 164, which is not crazy. They got Volkov at the favorite, plus minus 196, which is pretty respectful. It's nothing nothing too crazy. But at the end of the day, yeah, I'm going I'm just going to go Overeem. I'm going to hope for the journey to continue. But if it doesn't, I think Volkov has always been a dark horse of the division. I don't think the Derek Lewis fight or the Curtis Blaydes fight is a true representation of him as a fighter once again. But we'll see. Talk to me, Lee.
Overeem, since he switched caps, he's actually looked really, really good. I like Overeem in this fight. Only reason I like Overeem because I'm looking at Volkov's record and I see a bad sign. Win, loss, win, loss, win. If this sticks to form, that he's going to lose tonight to Alistair Overeem. I like when guys can string together wins, you know. I think it shows that you are improving, that you are making changes in your game. And when you alternate wins and losses, that's just not a good sign for me. I like Overeem in this fight. But the thing about Volkov is he can wrestle a little bit. So Overeem has to be weary of that, being taken down and being able to get back to his feet. Volkov, man, he's so talented, but it just seems that he can't put, to me, it seems that he can't put it all together. But he did win 1, 2, 3, 4 fights in a row, and then he won 4 fights, lost 1. But I think he was winning fights against guys that he's supposed to beat. You know, he beat Timothy Johnson. He beat Roy Nelson. He beat Stefan Struve. He beat Fabricio Werdum, who doesn't really have a chin, but he can. He has a solid solid ground game. So, man, I'm gonna go with Alistair. Overeem to win this fight, second round KO. He continues his march to possibly get a title shot. To me, I think Overeem, if he wins this fight, I wouldn't mind seeing him and John Jones. I think that would be a fight that I would love to see. You know, John Jones, I think, does need to have one fight at heavyweight before fighting for the belt, but I don't think the UFC is going to do it. But if he was to have a fight, I would like to see him fight Overeem. So I'm taking Overeem, man, second round KO.
All right. Well, you know, we've been pretty good on picks. You know, I mean, you've been pretty identical on picks. I like that. You know, some differences, some, you know, some sames. And it's relatively early. It's not like a early card, but it's not a late card either. The main card starts at 8 p.m. EST over here. So, you know, that'll be a good one for me. I don't have to wait too long. You know, respectfully, I do not like the 10 p.m., even 9:30 at night fight night cards, unless they're like a really, you know, big, you know, fight card, like something truly on that card. But, yeah, so please take it away.
Yeah, man, I'm with you, man. I think fight night cards should be early in the day. I think, you know, especially like during this time, especially like this weekend right here, you got Super Bowl tomorrow. Basically, the only thing you really have is you have one NBA game tonight at 8:30, and that's between two teams that's kind of struggling a little bit, and college basketball. So I think this time frame for this fight is actually pretty good. I don't like the 10 p.m. Even though Mountain Time on 2 hours behind Eastern, I still don't like that the late starts. It's just something about the late starts. But I think, man, you got a lot of the same picks because of, you know, the fighters. I mean, you know, Stamen fighting a first-time guy, Emmanuel Capy, and Alexander Pantoja. I think that's probably the only fight that might go another way, but Johnson versus Guida, you know, it's just what it is. It's just the way it came out today. So, hey, everybody have a good evening. Enjoy the fights. Hopefully we'll be back Wednesday to recap this fight, this card, and look forward to the next card, which I want to say is Usman versus Burns,
yes,
which is February 13th. So that's next weekend. So, yeah, we'll definitely be jumping up here next week to talk about that card. So everybody have a good weekend. Enjoy the fights. Stay safe. Practice social distancing. And wear your mask. Me and Evan signing off. I love doing these fight breakdowns with Evan. It seems to bring like a different energy out of Evan. So
trust me, man. I love doing them on the Saturday, you know, afternoon. I like breaking down a fight and then getting to, you know, knowing that it's coming up in the same day. It's a beautiful feeling.
Yeah, well, all right, man. Have a good weekend, bro. I'll probably be hitting you up on the chat. Well, I'm quite sure we'll be hitting each other up on the chat. Are you texting? Are you tweeting from the Twitter account tonight? I think I'm gonna do some tweeting from the. Yeah, I'm gonna do some tweeting from the account tonight too.
Yeah, yesterday was the bare knuckle thing. Paige VanZant fought. I don't know if you caught anything on Twitter about it. She lost. She didn't really fight much. Like, in the fifth round, she came on, but it was a pretty much just kind of, like, ran around a little bit, made some nice money. But I streamed off my phone. Like, I just kind of angled my phone on Twitter, and I streamed it to my TV because I got a decent-sized TV, and I actually got, like, 200 viewers. So I might do that again for the Overeem fight, even though I know it's on ESPN+, but not everyone can watch it, so... We'll see what happens. You know, it's nice to just chit-chat and talk, you know, live stream with the, you know, when the fights are going on.
Yeah, man. Actually, I mean, not to jump off topic, but Twitch, man. I subscribe to Twitch. They little app. Man, this is actually a pretty dope app, man, because they have, like little viewing parties and stuff in there, too. So, yeah, man, that's actually pretty dope. But all right, Evan, man, have a good weekend, bro. Talk to you probably throughout the day, and we'll definitely jump on next week to do our show. Everybody have a good weekend. Lee, Keys, Evan, Real Talk, signing out. Everybody have a good one. Peace.